morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings 19. First Kings 19, verse 9. We'll go 1 Kings 19, verse 9 through 18. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel has forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away." The Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall come about, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha, shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, and all the knees that have not bowed down to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. We invite your presence here, Lord. I thank you that you love us. God, I thank you for your mercy and kindness, and we thank you for your presence. Pray that you would come and just speak to us today, and we open up our hearts to you. We give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so probably most of us are familiar with this story in the Bible of Elijah and his amazing victory in chapter 18. One chapter before this one, he has an incredible encounter with the prophets of Baal, right? You know, at this time in Israel, Ahab is king, and he has a horrible wife. Her name is Jezebel, and they lead the people of Israel, the northern kingdom, they lead them astray into Baal worship. So the whole country is worshiping Baal, and God gives a word to Elijah to say, you need to go battle against these prophets. So he goes, and as you guys are familiar, he sets up two altars and puts sacrifice of meat on it, and he says, "Let's pray and let's see. Let's you guys pray to Baal, and I'm going to pray to the Lord, and whichever God brings down fire and burns up the sacrifice, that's the true God, so let's worship that God." So they agree, and the prophets of Baal go first, and they dance and pray and cut themselves before Baal all day, and nothing happens. And Elijah says, "Okay, it's my turn," and he prays a simple prayer and says, "God, reveal yourself to be the true God of Israel." And then fire comes down, and the sacrifice gets consumed. That's a powerful story, and one that, you know, if you've grown up in church, you've heard it many, many times, right? You've read stories and storybooks about this amazing victory. So I was reading this chapter a few days ago, chapter 18, and I was asking myself, what happens What happens as a result of this incredible victory of Elijah? Chapter 18, amazing story. I mean, we all love it. We all love the power of God that's displayed as fire comes down and dries up the water that's on the sacrifice and around the altar and burns up the sacrifice. So I think, man, what an incredible, powerful display of the glory of God and the work of God. Surely, now Israel will turn back to the Lord, right? Because they have seen the power of the living God. But what happens as a result of this battle between Baal and Yahweh? Effectively, nothing happens. Nothing comes out of that story. There's no result. You know, what is the fruit of this great act of faith and act of obedience by Elijah? Nothing. So it was so strange to me to think about that. See, I would have thought, yeah, this would be the turning point for Israel. God displays his power, and this is it. People repent, and they turn around, and they worship Yahweh. And right after the story, a little bit happens. But if you look at kind of some time after the work of Elijah, nothing happens. So if you keep reading, in chapter 20, Ahab again disobeys God. He was supposed to destroy the king of Aram that God had basically handed to him, but he doesn't do it. And then when a prophet comes to rebuke him, then Ahab gets really angry. He gets really pissed off and really offended. It says he was sullen and he was angry. Then in chapter 21, Ahab, still a selfish, immature king, wants to get the field of Naboth, this character, and because he can't have it, he gets all sad and all, he just sulks, basically. And his wife Jezebel comes up with this murderous plan to kill off Naboth so that Ahab can take the field. So Ahab murders a guy because he wants a field, and Jezebel is still very, very influential in the kingdom of Israel. And then later on, you see Ahab turning to false prophets, disobeying God by going into battle against Aram, and then Ahab dies as a result of that. And his son, he has inherited the worship of Baal from his father. And so the legacy that Ahab leaves to his son is idol worship, and the whole country of Israel is led astray. So it's a bit depressing, right? Elijah has this incredible story right in the middle of all this is going on, and he has an incredible victory for God and victory for Yahweh. Yahweh is seen to be the only true God, but there is no result to show for it. There's no fruit. There's no repentance. There's no turning around of Ahab and the people of Israel. So this is what I wrote in the Bible. This is before I read through chapter 20, 21, 22, and I read the story of Elijah, because I kind of knew that, does anything really happen after this story? So this is what I wrote. I said, Elijah must have thought this was going to be a real turning point, repentance and revival, but there was little result from this encounter. And I wrote, God, what is the result of this battle? Israel continues to sin, and they turn away from you. What was the point of all of this? In the big scheme of things, did this event even matter? Was there a meaning to this? Right? I don't know. I wonder if you guys ever thought this way. But this was really the first time that I was like, oh yeah, like what is going on? Does this event really matter? My question is, if Elijah didn't do this, let's say Elijah didn't have this whole encounter with the prophets of Baal, fire didn't come down, nothing happened, what would be different? Right? Because Israel's still worshiping Baal, Ahab is still following after Baal, Jezebel is still in power, and they get punished at the end of Ahab's life. So what was the point of all this? And I think Elijah seems to me, in the passage that we read today in chapter 19, Elijah shares my sentiment, right? He says in verse 10, basically he's saying, what the heck am I doing here, God? Like, what is this? I've been zealous for you. I'm doing all these things and nothing is happening. You know, what is the point of all this? Does this even matter? And so those are some of my questions, and I don't have very much time, but I want to share with you some of my meditations and my thoughts, because I was thinking about this last night and just kind of preparing for this message, and I felt like God was highlighting this. So I want to share with you some of my thoughts and what I think is the point and the meaning of this obedience by Elijah. I have 2 points. Number one, God, if you read through this passage that we read today, God really doesn't answer Elijah, right? He has all these questions like, God, you know, I've been zealous for you, but people are still turning away from you and they want to kill me. God doesn't specifically address the issues that Elijah brings before him. But what happens is Elijah has an encounter with God, right? Elijah has an encounter with the living God. He hears the voice of God, the gentle whisper that comes through this time. And, you know, I think the point of this act was not just for Israel to change and for there to be a tangible and visible fruit from this. The point was for Elijah to have an encounter with God. And I think sometimes our obedience and our faithfulness before the Lord and our acts of faith and obedience, it doesn't have to be for some tangible and visible immediate result or fruit. But really, that act of obedience, that act of faithfulness and act of faith that you it's for yourself. It's for you to have an encounter with the Lord and say, God, I did it. And for God to say, yeah, you did it. I'm proud of you. You obeyed me, and to have an encounter with the Lord. And so I think we can't always just think, man, I want to see some visible fruit. I want to see immediate results. And if that doesn't happen, then you sulk and you get depressed and you think, what the heck is the point? We have to understand, no, that act of obedience and act of faithfulness and that, that obedience is really, it's for you to have an encounter with God and for you to stand before the Lord and be able to say, God, I did it, Lord. I was faithful to you. And if you look in the Bible, there's actually many, many people that seemingly are very unsuccessful, right? Jeremiah, her whole life prophesying, telling people to repent. People don't repent. But Jeremiah can stand before the Lord and say, God, I've been faithful, right? I was obedient to you. And he has a deep encounter with the Lord. You may feel like, man, I'm doing all of this. Whatever it is, house church leading, homey outreach. Because I can tell you, with homey outreach, sometimes we feel this way. We feel like, man, I'm doing all of this. What is the point of all this? Are we seeing anything? Is anything changing? And sometimes we do, but you know, we can go through that. Homey outreach, it can be evangelism, trying to tell people about Christ, trying to be a righteous employee in your company, right? Trying to be a man or woman of God in your company, but you're like, man, but what's the point of all this? I'm not seeing anything happen. People are not turning to Christ. You know, they're not repenting. I don't see them changing, you know, loving difficult people, right? There are difficult people all around us, and sometimes it's toiling to love on difficult people and give them attention and reach out to them, and you think, but they don't change, and you go, what the heck? What am I doing? Where is the fruit? And I think when we go to God in these times, and when we hear his whisper, we get to experience God in a way that you wouldn't have been able to if you hadn't obeyed God. Elijah experiences God in the act of obedience, right? He's probably the only one that calls down fire. He's the only one that prays and God brings down fire. So he experiences God in the obedience, and then he experiences God, he meets God, he encounters God in his doubt and questions and struggles. And I think in the same way, when we obey God and stay faithful to God, in that act of obedience, you meet God and you encounter God in a new, fresh way that you wouldn't have been able to. But after that, let's say nothing happens, then in your struggle and your doubt and your reflections and in your prayers to God, then He meets you in a deeper way. And I think that's the point. That's one of the point. And I think it's not more important, but it's just as important to God for you to have that encounter with Him than for there to be results and fruit. You know, we get so caught up in the result and fruit, what we can immediately see. But I think it's just as important to God that you have that encounter with Him through your act of obedience. So that's the first one. And the second point, this story gets recorded, right? This story, I know in Elijah's lifetime, maybe he doesn't see anything happen, but this story gets recorded, and for thousands of years, this story will inspire, encourage, teach, and challenge believers, right? Throughout all these centuries and years. And so there's definitely a point to Elijah's obedience. There is fruit and result from his obedience, but it was just not immediate, right? It wasn't an immediate thing. It wasn't the result and fruit that Elijah wanted to see. But years and years after this happens, there is incredible fruit that comes from this, because this story will inspire people and it'll touch people's lives and it'll challenge them and encourage them. So I think we need to have a long-term perspective. You know, you're leading house church now, and you're serving in ministries now, and you are doing what you can, staying faithful to God, maybe, you know, sharing the gospel with your family, your friends now, and you think, man, I'm not seeing anything, and you might get discouraged, you know, like, where's the fruit, immediate fruit? Well, we need to have a long-term perspective and think, you know, you never know the impact you have on somebody. You never know the impact of your own work and your own act of faithfulness. You know, I hear that all the time in youth ministry, right? Because if I'm counting on immediate results, it'll be very, very discouraging, right? You don't always see very many students change. Or, you know, you don't see a lot of immediate fruit in the lives of these students. And people tell me that all the time. Well, you never know the impact. And I think that's true. And it is true, but it's still a little discouraging. But I have to fight that and say, God, but I trust you, God. I trust that you're doing something that even though I might not be able to see it right away, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to have a long-term perspective. And I think the same for you. I mean, with Elijah, truly Elijah, till the day he dies, Ahab and Israel is walking away from God. So he doesn't see the fruit. He doesn't know that thousands of years later, in Hong Kong, a bunch of people will be listening to the message of his obedience and getting inspired and encouraged and challenged by it. But that's what happens. And I think God knows. God knows the impact that your act of obedience and faithfulness will have upon generations and generations. So we can't get caught up in immediate fruit, immediate result, and be discouraged because you feel like nothing is happening. And as I was preparing for this, I was reminded of what we learned at men's retreat. So all the men that came to the men's retreat, hopefully you were able to catch this point. But Pastor Rick Lehman says this. He says in Luke 10:20, this is what Jesus says to his disciples. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. That's after, I think he sends the 70 out, and they have incredible fruit doing ministry, and they come back rejoicing. And Jesus rejoices with them, but he says, but don't rejoice because of the results of your ministry. Don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. But rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. And Pastor Rick said this, and I thought, wow, I thought it was incredibly deep. He said, if you rely on your success and the results for your joy, what happens when you don't have the results? Then you get discouraged. Then you start thinking, man, this sucks. You know, you lose the joy, you get discouraged. And he said, we cannot rejoice. Let me say it right. If we If our joy is dependent on our result and our fruit, then our joy is not constant, right? It's insecure. Because you're not always going to have fruit and results. And so he was saying, your joy and your source of life, it has to be based on something constant, right? And what is constant? Your relationship with God, right? The fact that your names are written in the book of life, that you have relationship with the Father, that he loves you, that he is with you, that's a constant thing. And if you can draw your joy and your courage from that, something that is constant, then your joy and your, you know, just the strength to go through life and do ministry, it'll always be there because it's not dependent upon fruit and results. So, yeah. I thought it was incredibly deep, you know, and I hope you can remember that, right? Elijah, he had faults too. His joy and his strength was dependent upon results. And he thought, what the heck, God? What is the point? What am I doing this? He's all down and depressed. And he needs God to restore him. And that's okay. That's okay. I mean, God has mercy on us, right, when we go through these times. But we have to remember, the point is not just to see immediate results. Through your obedience, you're going to have an encounter, incredible encounter with God. And that's, in a way, that's enough, right? So for me, in a practical sense, I'm preparing this message, and I'm thinking about all this, and I'm going to preach this message. And if I preach this message and no one gets blessed and nothing happens, that's still okay, because in preparing for this message, I had an incredible time with God. And I think to God, that matters. Maybe for us, because we're so performance-oriented and we want to see results, we're like, that's not important. But to God, it matters that you obeyed him and you spent time with him and you encountered him. And secondly, you never know the impact of your ministry, your faithfulness. Let's go before the Lord. Andrew's going to lead us in a song. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for this message and for this passage and this story of Elijah, God. And really, Father, it's difficult because there's nothing that we can tangibly say, wow, that was an incredible fruit that came out of the work of Elijah. But Lord, we know that through that, he gets to meet you in a way that he could never have if it wasn't for that obedience. And we can see now, with hindsight, we know like the result of his ministry, that we know that many, 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 many people are inspired and encouraged and challenged by this story. And help us to do the same. Help us to be faithful. Help us to remain faithful. Help us not to lose heart or to get discouraged in our work, God, in the good works that we try and do, reaching out to people, loving people, staying faithful and remaining righteous in our workplace, God. And even if we don't see anything right away, God, may we not lose heart. May we take joy in our relationship with you, and really trust that you're going to take what we're doing and you're going to, you know, bless people with it in ways that we may not be expecting. So thank you, Father. We just come before you, God.
No.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's just bring before God anything that you might, you know, if you feel like you're working hard for God but nothing is happening, let's just go before the Lord and bring those things to Him and allow Him to minister to you. I think it's powerful that it matters to God, like my encounter with God matters to God enough, and He's not so bothered that there's no fruit or results from something, but He's just happy that through my act of obedience I get to have an encounter, I get to be with Him. Same for you guys. And I think it's powerful that it, to God, he has a different economy. He doesn't have to see much fruit for Him to be happy. But He's just happy that you obeyed and that He gets to reveal Himself to you more. I think that's powerful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you love us individually so much, God, that it's okay if nothing happens. But through that, we deepen our walk with you, we deepen our relationship with you, then you say that's enough for you, and that matters to you. So I thank you, God, that you love each of us in that way. Let's go before God in prayer. Let's pray for our friends. Let's really pray and ask the Lord to move powerfully. Terrence had surgery yesterday, and I heard from Carolyn that everything went well, and the doctor said most likely the tumor is benign, but the results will come out on Thursday. So let's just continue to pray for them in this time. And let's pray for the rest of our people on the list. Let's pray. That need salvation as well as healing. Let's pray for grace of God to be released upon the people on this list. Let's pray. Infirmities that our friends are going through. Let's pray for the power of God to be released, for healing for our friends. Let's pray together. Thank you. Let's go to the fourth slide. Pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's just pray for favor, for guidance and direction. And let's pray against any discouragement. Let's pray that they'll be able to use this time well. So let's pray for our friends. Go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray against the poverty and the wealth gap that is here. Let's pray for just the churches and for revival to break out in Hong Kong. Let's pray for all these different ministries that's listed that we support, that we have a relationship with. And let's just pray that God will really move in this city, in the city that we live in. Let's pray. Let's pray for the staff. P. Sam and Ken are traveling, so let's pray for just God's grace over them. And please pray for the families as well. There's a few of us with children. And let's just pray that the staff in their personal lives will be so filled with joy and will be so intimate with God that they will fall deeper in love with God every day. And in our work, that we would be united and that we would hear from God. So let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound team, media team. Let's also pray for the arts team as well. I'm trying to cut down on some of our time. So let's pray for 3 and 4 together, our worship ministry and arts ministry. And let's pray that all of us will have a heart of excellence, that it will really glorify God, a heart of worship. And let's pray for these two ministries. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. It's listed above, so you can pray for the leaders. Pray for just an incredible time tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your love, and thank you that you hear our prayers. And so grateful for who you are. We're so grateful for just how you display your mercy and your kindness to us all the time. And we give this day to you. God, help us to glorify you throughout this day, God, and to praise you, to worship you throughout this day. Watch over each person here. God, help us to really have a great day today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a reminder that there is no EMP tomorrow, so we'll see you on Thursday. Have a good day off tomorrow.